Feel free to grab a seat if you need to get a beer or a smoothie or some nachos or some chips. Nachos? I'll make. That's, we're not selling the nachos with me. I am sick. No one, please make out with me after the show. Unless your name is Mark Berg.
Yeah.
And then we will. So, nachos.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab. Stab.
Hello! Hello, Lunas! It's a wonderful evening to be here. I'm sick. I'm going to mention it 6 to 7 more times during the show. I have pink eye. Would you guys like to meet the contestants? Yes. Okay, welcome to the stage first. Very, very first. Mr. Zach Coles. Zach Coles, right there. Seat number one. Sit your ass down. Right there. Seat number one. In the middle. Always in the middle. Mr. Josh Kincaid. And coming up. Up the rear, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome this. Welcome to the stage, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Welcome to Stab, gentlemen. All right, are you guys ready to respond to me, or is it
ready.
Just gonna be?
Yes, we are.
All right,
here we are.
Hello, Mr. Ross. That's how I feel like you guys should address me today. Zach and Josh, this is your second show ever.
Yeah.
So we're glad to get you both out of the way. At the same time, two birds, one stone. Thank you for being here. You guys had really strong showings in your first show. And we want to let you know.
Don't tell people that.
We just want to let you know it was Jesse's idea to bring you back.
No.
I mean, I wanted you to, but thank you for being here.
Pressure on everyone.
Zach Coles, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You have to get out of here. After the show, as you're doing improv at another venue.
What an asshole.
Yeah. Zach Coles, a very funny gentleman. I don't know if you guys knew this about Zach Coles. He is a liability. He's a liability.
Oh, they'll know.
Yeah. So thank you for being here, Zach. Sitting right next to you, a man with the very same story as you has to leave in 40 minutes. Because you also do improv, Josh.
With Zach.
Are you guys on the same improv team?
Yeah, we are on the same team.
What's the name of your improv team?
I don't remember.
You don't?
It's Modern Fuzz.
Modern Fuzz.
It's Modern Fuzz for another week, and then it's going to change into something else.
Yes. Yeah,
those names
as
change.
As improv.
Yeah. Such is the world.
Or want to do.
Such is the world. I've been in a couple improv teams. My Mexican Dad, that was the name of one I was in. Government Cheese, that was a fun poster to make. So I don't know if you knew this about yourself, Josh, but your mind is in the gutter, so clean it up, okay, buddy?
Hey, now.
Clean it up. Hey, now. Jesse Jones, he's at the end, there, as usual. Yeah. I don't know why I sounded disappointed. This is the seventh show in 16 days that Jesse Jones has been on. And he's been very busy with Stab and dropping papers.
I don't know how my hands work anymore.
just look like you're about to fall in love in
just
an 80s
flailing.
Movie, right?
Yeah.
In a high school 80s movie.
I hope the cute sports boy is gonna lean down and try to pick up my papers too.
That would be awesome. Jesse Jones, I don't know if you knew this.
Probably not.
But you're my favorite mistake. So let's play Stab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. Yes. You guys are a good crowd already.
It's a good Cheryl Crow reference.
You guys are great. Ooh, it's peeking high. Are we blowing up the board or what? Okay. I'll turn me down a little bit. This first segment is called "This Was Today Once." Zach Coles. On this date, 1930, bank robber Herman Lamb and members of his crew were killed in a 200-strong posse. Following a botched bank robbery in Clinton, Indiana. Also on this very date, 1997, President Clinton names his Labrador Retriever Buddy. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
My alarm rings in a new day at 4:45 a.m., but I'm not in bed. I've been up for 2 hours doing rigorous cardio. Today is not a day for sleep. I punched the alarm clock through my wall. I'm excited, because today is what I've been waiting for, December 16th, the day of Howard Lamb and Buddy, the dog. I grab my night vision gear and scamper off into the woods, moving through rivers and streams so no tracker can find my scent. I reach my destination, Perlmutter's Pets of Strawberry, California, Point Alpha. In honor of Herman Lamb, I case the pet store using the Lamb technique. This requires treating my robbery as seriously as I would treat a military operation, seeking out every possible escape route and planning for all possible contingencies. As the sun rises, I'm ready to make my move. Crawling slowly through the tall grass, I approach the building from behind. I wait for the town police officer to pass on her morning rounds, then I pick the lock on the back door. I realize it was open. I laugh at myself for 3 seconds, for that was the amount of time I allowed myself in my contingency planning. I proceed to move from cage to cage to aquarium to cage, freeing 200 of the 201 animals there. Sorry, Ralph the Bunny. Maybe I'll see you next year. Renaming all the animals Buddy, I have them follow me through the woods to Point Bravo. Cornered by the beasts, I am metaphorically killed, as Herman Lamb was. But instead of 200 angry Hoosiers shooting at me, 200 various dogs, cats, iguanas, parrots, turtles, canaries, and a single goldfish lick, lick, gnaw, bird beak, reptile beak, slightly smaller bird beak, and fish flop around on top of me. After the allotted 5 minutes of mostly fluffiness, I break up the pile, freeing the animals to the wild where they belong, and head toward Point Charlie, where Marine 3 awaits me. I hop in the chopper and sit opposite a saluting President William Jefferson Clinton. He tells me I did my country proud and again offers me the Presidential Medal of Freedom, but, you know, the better one they don't tell the public about. I refuse, as I do every year. It is my honor and my duty to do this. President Clinton calls me the greatest man he knows and parachutes out of the helicopter somewhere over Yosemite. I'll see you next year, Slick Willie. I'll leave the chopper. I have the chopper bring me back to Sacramento and drop me off at Luna's. I have 5 minutes to prepare for stab. Can I do it? Do I have enough time? Of course I.
Very good, Zach Coles. Very good. Yeah. Yep. Josh Kindick. That's how you would put it on Facebook.
What?
You mixed it up on Facebook.
I mix it up on Facebook.
On this date, 1915, Albert Einstein publishes the general theory of relativity. Relativity. Revitility?
Revitility.
Let's start that raviolis. Oh, Jesus criminy. On this date, 1915, Albert Einstein publishes the general theory of relativity. Also, today is National Sports Day in Thailand. How did you choose to recognize these events combined?
All right. Starting it off with a bang. All right. Upon receiving this assignment, I realized I knew very little about both Einstein's theory of relativity and what I could only assume was Thailand's equivalent to the Super Bowl Sunday. I felt totally underqualified to celebrate these two mysterious things. It then dawned on me, science, sports science. I should go back to school and get my degree in sports science. With a renewed sense of purpose, I jumped out of bed and headed over to my local library to look for schools online. Quick tip, you can actually go to the library and get free internet. Okay. Amazing, who knew? So anyway, I'm in the library and at my computer station, and I found a school called the United States Sports Academy. This is a real school, they have a Bachelor of Sports Science program. Using my words. Perfect.
I'm with you.
Thank you, John. I filled out the online application, but before I hit apply, they asked me for my credit card number to pay a $50 application fee. $50, no sir, not me. I wasn't about to pay for information I could easily get for free on the internet at the library. Did I mention that the internet is free at the library? Wow, because it is. And who needs some fancy degree from some hoity-toity online sports university anyway? I was going to learn about relativity. It's hard.
It is hard. It's hard. Fuck all of you.
I was going to learn about relativity and Thai sport holidays the old-fashioned way by asking Jeeves. With yet a new renewed sense of purpose, I typed in National Sports Day Thailand into my browser, and boom, tons of results. Now, the first few I clicked on just led me to a red page that rudely stated, website blocked due to content. what kind of library blocks content? Now, if that's not irony, I don't know what is. Anyway, after running into a few pages with the same issue, I found a great resource online called Wikipedia. Now, let me tell you folks, throw away your Encyclopedia Britannicus, because this thing's here to stay. All right? The things I learned. Did you know that National Sports Day commemorates Thailand's King Bhumibol? His gold medal in sailing in the 1967 Southeast Asian Peninsula Games? It's true. I had to know more about this king. As it turns out, he also has the following facts about him. He's an accomplished jazz saxophone player who wrote songs called Candlelight Blues and Love at Sundown. This is the current king of Thailand. He's the patent holder for something called a super sandwich, which I was disappointed to find is not a giant, you know, mecha tuna melt. It's something that he claims it enables him to induce rainfall. And he's also the author of a book about his dog, Thong Dang.
Dang.
And this guy's fascinating. And Wikipedia had a separate entry for each of these subjects. Fantastic. Anyway, apparently time flies when you're having fun, because before I knew it, I was deep into a page that discussed the Thai law that states that it's punishable by imprisonment to criticize the king when a librarian told me that the library was closing and I needed to leave. I realized that I hadn't even started reading about the theory of relativity, so I quickly typed it into my new favorite website. Before I could get too far, the computer automatically shut off. From what I can gather, it had something to do with energy, mass, and squares. Anyway, I'll be back at the library first thing tomorrow morning, and we'll report back to you when I have more information.
Very good. Josh Kincaid. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1997, Lillian Disney, American illustrator and wife of Walt Disney, died. Also on this very date, 2009, Roy E. Disney, American businessman and nephew of Walt Disney, died. How did you celebrate these events?
I think it's pretty obvious. How I'm celebrating this day, John Ross. I'm hunting Disneys. I finally had enough waiting for the world to unravel my genius. So my present to humanity is revealing the details of my masterwork, which they've missed for so long. Can you not see it? Can you not see the pattern? Let me pull back further so that the distance will allow the picture to come into focus. Roy E. Disney, nephew of Walt Disney, the creator of Mickey Mouse, died December 16th, 2009. Circle the date, small circle. Roy O. Disney, brother of Walt, the creator of Mickey Mouse, died 1971, December 20th. Circle that date as well, equally small circle. Walt Disney, brother of Roy O., uncle of Roy E., died in the year of our Lord 1966, December 15th. Large circle! Lay over the top of one another, the three calendar pages on, say, a light table. Not unlike the customary tool of an artist slash illustrator such as Walt Disney, creator of Mickey Mouse! And my genius is revealed for all to see. Need I spell it out? The three circles of Disney death, nudge them around, squint a little bit, and they perfectly form the unmistakable silhouette internationally recognizable as the head of Mickey Mouse himself. The ultimate hidden Mickey. Surely the authorities will come for me now.
But I'd been waiting 6 years since the younger Roy's death, and I simply could wait no longer. Perhaps someday I'll share with you how, if you trace the locations of the deaths of Chuck Jones, Tex Avery, Friz Freeling, Bob Clampett, and Mel Blanc on a map, it just might look like a certain rabbit you might know.
Very good. Very good. This was Today Once. This show, still called Stab. This next segment is called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Gentlemen, please have written 3 haiku in regards to the following topical event. In an interview this week with People magazine, the 86-year-old Barbara Walters revealed to her interviewee Bradley Cooper that she finds him very screwable. Very screwable. Haiku times 3. One at a time.
Why sex, you perverts? What she referred to? Not looks. Brad Cooper spirals.
Okay.
Gals in their 90s love marathons of banging with Mr. Cooper.
Banging with Mr. Cooper.
Okay. Nice. My first is titled Legendary. Babs has still got it. Her interviews can still make celebrities cry.
Barbara Walters, minx of 2020 fame, sniper in her sights.
Very good. Very good.
This is from the point of view of Miss Walters as a love letter to Mr. Cooper. Rip off my Depends. Not because I made Boom Boom. Though I did that too.
Second is titled Mammology. Is cougar the right term for an 80-year-old saber-tooth cougar?
Fascinating peeps? People not her main concern, lost in bright blue eyes.
No more soft focus. The view is 2020. Perched atop Brad's face.
Very good.
Ties together pretty well. My third titled, How Soon We Forget. Just like when she told Fidel Castro she'd make him her bearded fuck mop.
Very good. That was the Topical Haiku Challenge. Show your respect. Thank you. Very good. Very good. Very good. That was Topical Haiku Challenge. The show, what's it called? Stab. You're right. This next segment is called Reorganization, a fan favorite. Please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym, FTW. FTW. Zach, what does FTW mean to you now?
In an attempt to appeal to the younger generations and their well-known love of acronyms, advertisements featuring the letters FTW or Feelin' the Worcestershire started popping up around England in June of 2015. A last-ditch effort by the failing Worcestershire of Lancashire, the only remaining producers of Worcestershire sauce in England, the billboards became more common as Worcestershire of Lancashire became more desperate. Finally realizing that the youth no longer looks at billboards, radio advertisements followed soon. Hey, Timmy, what you eating? Sandwich. Looks good. Damn right it does. FTW. FTW? Feeling the Worcestershire. After 6 months with no uptick in sales, Lord Duncan Derby Gloucestershire, the Baron of Worcestershire and head of Worcestershire of Lancashire, is quoted to have said, Well, bloody hell, these sprouts won't have the sense to cricket about when it's stuck on a sticky wicket. He is also said to have dropped his crumpets. Lord Duncan Derby Gloucestershire, the Baron of Worcestershire and head of Worcestershire of Lancashire, having not left his estate since the 1960s, changed tack, progressing through 8-track, cassette deck, and laserdisc advertisements. Bleeding money advertising on useless, outdated technology, Lord Duncan Derby Gloucestershire was fired from Worcestershire of Lancashire and stripped of his barony, the Barony of Worcestershire. Unable to cope with his debaroning, the former Lord Duncan Derby Gloucestershire lost his grip on reality and, after a rampage overturning teacups all the way from Lancashire to London, had the police called on him while scrolling FTW over the walls of tube stations in his Worcestershire sauce. One millennial on the scene was quoted as saying, "The fuck is FTW?" With another responding, "The fuck should I know?" The former Lord Duncan Derby Gloucestershire is said to have been screaming Worcestershire as police tased him. Charges are forthcoming.
Very good, Zach. Very good. I believe in your first episode, you had to use Lancashire. Lancashire?
Lancashire.
Lancashire.
Lancashire. Yes.
Yeah, that was in your first show, too. It was a nice nod to the... Okay, Josh, that's your name. FTW, what does it mean to you?
To me, to everyone. FTW, of course, stands for Frank the Walrus, the main character of the unpublished children's book series by Frank Stallone, the brother of Sylvester Stallone. Frank wrote 50 Frank the Walrus stories between 1981 and 2013, but has yet to find a publisher willing to sign him, which sources at some publishing houses have stated is mostly due to Mr. Stallone's insistence on signing a 50-book deal, as well as the book's general poor quality and repetitive nature. Mr. Stallone accidentally leaked one of the otherwise closely guarded manuscripts on his Twitter account when he clicked on the wrong file in an attempt to upload a shirtless picture of himself to his followers as an update on his weight loss campaign sponsored by 1-800-GET-THIN, a now-defunct company that was forced to close after being fined by the FDA for advertisements that were deemed misleading and failed to provide proper information about the potential risks involved in... almost made it. The potential risks involved in using the product. As a follower of Mr. Stallone, I was able to get a hold of the manuscript before it was quickly deleted and replaced with a topless photo. I've copied an excerpt that I'd like to read, so without further ado, a reading from Frank the Walrus and the Ghost of the Haunted Fort. That night, Frank awoke to the sound of a scream of a lady seal. He scooted himself off his walrus bed out to the yard of his walrus home. It was coming from the fort. What could it be, he thought. The only people who had access to the fort were Frank and his big brother, Sly Sylvester the Walrus. But it couldn't be Sly Sylvester. You see, last time Sly Sylvester went to the fort was with a lady seal. He was up. He was up there for an entire Labor Day weekend and didn't tell Frank. Frank walked in to find the room covered in magic powder and the lady seal asleep in the corner. Sly Sylvester claimed that she was just napping, which was weird because she didn't seem to be breathing very heavily. Sly Sylvester promised Frank that he would let him join in the fun whenever he had a lady seal and a new bag of magic powder in the fort, as long as Frank wouldn't tell the evil porpoise reporter about what he'd just seen. And so Frank knew it couldn't be Sly Sylvester up there with the screaming lady seal. He'd made a promise. It must have been a ghost.
Very good, Josh. FTW. Jesse Jones, yep. FTW, what does it mean to you?
Well, FTW is a new early education, health and hygiene video targeted to young women to help them understand upcoming changes to their body.
Jesus. And man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And prepare them for the wondrous world of womanhood with the help of the magical fallopian tube wizards.
All right.
This video introduces girls to the strange, confusing inner workings of their bodies and how the fallopian tube wizards, with a little help, will protect them from the dangers of the evil menstruation goblins. You see, approximately every 4 weeks, the peaceful land of Vajia is threatened by hordes of menstruation goblins sent from the dark caverns of Uteros. The Fallopian Tube wizards are capable of vanquishing these menstruation goblins and sending them away through the canal of Vaginia. But they need your help. Arm them with cotton so they may fight. And over the period of several days, defeat the menstruation goblins, sending their remains down the Vaginia Canal for you to dispose of. It's that teamwork between the young woman and the FTW that helps defeat the goblins until they strike again in another 4 weeks. One more sentence, guys, then you can sit down. And when you get a little older, be sure to join the Fallopian Tube Wizards on their next great adventure, the invasion of the Million Swimmer Swarm.
Good. That was reorganization. Yes. Welcome. Welcome, a group of four. Thank you for coming in right in the middle of that segment.
If you'd like, Jesse, do that one again.
Yeah, Jesse could do it again. Maybe that story draws them in.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This next segment is called Department of Tourism. You all have been hired as tourism directors of the following cities. Zach Coles, the city that you are going to be making us want to come to is War on Christmasopolis. The War on Christmasopolis.
Are you ready for the fight? Then welcome to the war. War on Christmasopolis is the final holdout. That jolly red bastard Santa has taken Agnostic City, Inclusionburg, and lost. Hey, maybe we should call it Happy Holidays instead, Olus. In the last 2 weeks alone, he used gumdrops on civilians. Gumdrops! Have you seen what a gumdrop does to a man? There were visions of sugar plums dancing on the walls. Here in War on Christmasopolis is what we have left of our command. Blitzen's on our side now, if you can believe it. Apparently, even he couldn't stomach what Rudolph was doing. Who knew that red nose was really a death laser? Now, Blitzen's been helpful, but we've had heavy losses. Frosty the Snowman got his hat blown off at the Battle of Eggnog Hill. After that, he just wasn't the same. He was just Snowman. When you get here, there are things you have to know. You can't sleep. He sees you when you're sleeping. He only knows when you're awake. You know, it's not as useful to him. He can't see you. He just knows. It's kind of annoying. But he knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. You better be good, for goodness sake. We just received reports that he's been making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Unless we can stop him. So come here, free brothers and sisters, to war on Christmasopolis. Let's... Wait. What's that, Jenkins? You saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus? How could she? Hurry, get here quickly before everything is Christmas.
Very good, Zach. Zach Coles, first Christmas. First Christmasopolis. War on Christmasopolis. Josh, the name of your city that you're going to make us want to come to is Fear of Commitment Utopia. Fear of Commitment Utopia.
This one is near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm with you again.
Tired of being forced into something you're not sure you want? Then pack your bags and move to the town that doesn't have a name, commonly known as Fear of Commitment Utopia. Its founder, Josh Kincaid, had a few ideas for what to name it, but just couldn't pull the trigger on picking one. As such, the city remains unnamed, and another decision was avoided by Mr. Kincaid. Located equidistant from the mountains, the beach, wine country, and a big city, this vaguely defined paradise features everything a commitment phobe vaguely desires but takes no incentive to obtain. Worried about the stress of finding a house to live in? Well, in our town, you'll enjoy renting one of our plethora of studio apartments. That's right, our entire housing stock consists entirely of identical one-room rentals. You don't have to face the dreaded housing decision because you don't have to make one. Long-term significant other threatening to move in, not after they find that the bathroom is 3 feet from the bed, and kids, forget about it. And the wonderfulness doesn't end there. All our car dealerships only lease vehicles, and contracts are all for indeterminate amounts of time. Always wanted a pet, but afraid it might tie you down? Well, you're in luck. As a portion of all sales tax in the town, a portion of all sales tax in town goes towards providing our patented pet rental service. With this service, Fido will be there the minute you get home. But don't worry, you don't have to feed him or take him for a walk. We've got it covered. And if he gets mortally ill, don't worry, you won't have to deal with him anymore. And you can do it guilt-free because you never owned him in the first place. Want to spend a night on the town? We've got all sorts of great entertainment and dining options. At our movie theater, we don't make you buy a ticket to a specific movie because decisions, right? Our town also features two baseball teams for you to root for because here, nobody's forcing you to put all your eggs into one basket. And speaking of eggs, our food options are amazing. Now, I know I said options, but don't get too nervous because every restaurant in town is required to offer sampler platters. Want to grab a slice of pizza? Each slice at Papa Paisan's is half veggie, half meat lovers. And in an effort to avoid yet another binding obligation, all dine-in orders are served in a to-go box, just in case. So come on down to the town that doesn't have a name. Or don't. We're not trying to pressure you into anything here. As the beige sign on our entrance says, it truly is purgatory on earth.
Very good, Josh Kincaid. Jesse Jones, the city you are going to make us want to come to, rather state, is the state of emergency. The state of emergency. Make us want to come to the state of emergency.
Welcome to the state of emergency. For the love of God, get down. You may have noticed that everything around you is currently on fire. The state of emergency would like to remind you that everything within our state's borders is constantly on fire. Even while underwater, during any of our random daily floods, everything remains on fire. Please be advised, do not step into the fire. Also, do not swim into the fire. In the state of emergency, underwater fire burns hotter than above water fire. If you find yourself standing next to a structure, vehicle, or any other inanimate object in the state of emergency, be advised, it will explode. It will not explode simply because you are standing near it. It simply will explode. So standing near it is not advised. Do not stand near anything in the state of emergency, as it will at some point explode. You may be standing near something and notice that it has not exploded. You may stand near it for an extended period of time and think that because it still has not exploded, that it is safe to stand near it. It is not. It will explode. You are also advised not to stand near something that has already exploded, as it will explode. The extended forecast for the remainder of the week in the state of emergency is as follows. Thursday, fire. Friday, explosions. Saturday, fiery explosions. Right. Sunday, a slight chance of fire in the morning with exploding floods starting in the afternoon. Monday, early morning apocalypse, giving way later in the day to all of your deepest nightmares made real. And chasing you up sidewalks that seem to bend at near right angles. Tuesday, fire. If you are not already here, please do not come to the state of emergency. If you are already here, please do not try to leave the state of emergency. As leaving the state of emergency has been known to cause residents to catch fire and explode.
Very good. That was Department of Tourism this next segment. This is the last segment of our first show tonight. We do have two shows. Oh. This next segment is called Vows to an Asshole. Vows to an Asshole. Today we are gathered here to join you together to an asshole. Now let's hear those vows to that asshole. Zach Coles, you are marrying that person who takes the last of everything without consideration. Let's hear your vows to that person.
From the moment I first met you, when you grabbed that last slice of pizza at Frank's place as I turned away to ask if anyone else wanted it, I knew you were the one for me. I get the feeling Starving Peter really needed it, but you know, I'm sure he's fine by now. Probably just Peter, not really. Or I think he's dead Peter now. Anyway, I mean, sure, you know, I've always been left out in the cold whenever we were running out of Kleenex during flu season, whenever there was one final piece of bread left at a restaurant, whenever we only had a little bit of heroin left. But you wound up ODing instead of me, so, you know, bullet dodged. After you got out of rehab, you took the last TV from that house we were burgling, which, you know, was kind of dickish, but it weighed you down enough that the cops got you instead of me, so, you know, thanks, buddy. I'm sorry about prison. But, you know, now we're here together, and I love you, and I want to marry you, and finally, since you said your vows first, I will finally, finally get the last word.
Very good, Zach. Very good. Josh Kincaid, you were going to be marrying that four-year-old boy that hasn't been taught boundaries from his fucking idiot parents. That four-year-old boy that hasn't been taught boundaries by his fucking idiot parents. Let's hear your vows to him.
Well, first, I thank you for having me on the show yep. and making me pledge my love to a four-year-old
You're welcome.
Boy.
You're welcome.
And then posting audio of that on the
yes,
internet.
Yes, no problem. Yeah.
Can't imagine having any negative effect on my life.
You'll never be
all,
president.
So,
it's yes. fine.
Thank you. All right, that being said. So to preface my vows, in this scenario, the boy's name is Cody. Because, of course it is. There's like a 60% chance. Little shit. Anyway, okay. Cody, from the moment I heard you from across the aisle at Costco yell, fucker, at your mom, because she wouldn't let you try those free samples of Pico de Gallo knowing that you would just throw it up, my heart skipped a beat. What kind of 3.5-year-old boy would know such a word? You did, Cody. And it was because that's what your shitty dad calls your shitty mom whenever she screams at him to do a menial task like taking the garbage out during the goddamn Cowboys game. They've raised you horribly wrong up to this point, Cody. And now they've cowardly handed you off to me, which seems like a terrible, probably criminal act. I'm not very good with words, so I'd like to say one of my favorite verses from the Bible. That's right, the same book that your parents spanked you with when you were asked too many questions is now the one that I'm going to quote. So from 1 Corinthians 13, I paraphrase. Love is impatient. Love is unkind. Cody, your constant diet of fruity pebbles and violent cartoons mixed with your undiagnosed ADD has turned you into a hell child. You refuse to wait for anything and you don't have any friends because of your utter lack of social skills. You keep trying to poke the dog in the eye. Love always envies. It constantly boasts. It is extremely proud. Cody, you keep talking about your privates in public because your shitty parents never cared to tell you that that isn't socially acceptable. I can only hope to treat you with the same level of sheer neglect. Love is rude. It is self-seeking. It is easily angered. It keeps all records of wrongs. Cody, every time you want something from your shitty parents, you just start talking about the time that the cops came to your house because of the domestic disturbance. You don't understand why, but you always get whatever you want when you talk about that in public. Even Chuck E. Cheese. Love does not delight in the good, but rejoices with bald-faced lies. Cody, why be good when lying has gotten you so much more? You're 4 years old, so your shitty parents should be able to see through your obvious fabrications, but they're either too stupid to know or too apathetic to care. Love always rejects. always suspects, always despairs, always quits. You'll never really trust anyone, Cody. Your shitty parents kept threatening to put you up for adoption if you kept acting up, not knowing what kind of psychological effect this would have on you. You'll try to hide it through various chemicals, petty crimes, but you'll just end up in juvie, starting your career as a lifelong prisoner, bound to keep coming back into the system where you'll finally find at least some semblance of order and boundaries. Love inevitably fails. Cody, your shitty parents failed you. I will fail you even more. Your life is set up for failure. I can't wait to be there with you to see it happen. Expect nothing from me, because I will give you nothing. I only ask one thing of you. Please stop hitting people in the crotch. That's really annoying and hurts like hell.
Very, very good, Josh. Very good. That was...
Had a...
Those are your coworkers? Are
they, you mean right? That entire table of female Codys were your goddamn coworkers? Yeah. Well done, Berg.
We've been drinking since
noon. Oh,
well. I was like, Josh, you walked five people. Yeah. You're never on the show. Okay.
Thank you.
No,
thank
I'm kidding.
You.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
They were leaving because of all the emotion they were feeling.
They were. They
didn't
like
it anymore.
They recognized themselves on the page.
All right, Jesse, let's end the show. So these guys, you guys need to go now.
No,
you can
do.
Leave. It's 9 o'clock. How long is yours going to be?
Oh, it's much shorter than that.
Okay, good.
Thank God.
Jesse Jones, bring us home with this first show, first episode. You are going to be marrying a petty contrarian. A petty contrarian.
Uh-huh.
Off you go.
I stand here with you, shivering on this cold winter evening because you said everybody does spring. Pledging to you my undying devotion in my own words because you said if we were to read customary vows that you would, and I quote, literally throw up all over everyone forever. Standing there before me in your sky blue miniskirt and plaid print string bikini top. Reminds me how last night you burned the gown my mother wore when she married my father in the dumpster behind the hotel screaming, Patriarchy! Over and over at the top of your lungs until I agreed that 1980s Corvettes were indeed the best the model ever looked. I give you this silver bracelet as a symbol of my pledge to you. And because fuck gold, right? And obviously rings are stupid. And what are you, some kind of asshole? And here in the sight of King Pelvis, the self-proclaimed A number one Elvis Presley drive-through marriage official in all of Reno, and my parents on speakerphone, I promise to love, honor, and agree that the Princess Bride is hella overrated. I'm a fucking moron for ever thinking green was anything but a bullshit color. And that the new Star Wars is probably going to be stupid as hell. And fuck Star Wars anyway. I love you. And every time you roll your eyes at me when I say so, tells me that you love me too.
That is the end of the first episode of Stab. One more time for Zach Coles, Josh Kincaid, Jesse Jones. Very good. I'm John Ross. I'm the host. If you would like to check us out on iTunes, go there. YouTube, Stitcher, SoundCloud. If you have a smartphone, pull it out now. Subscribe. I don't know. Do it. We'll be back for the second show in 5 minutes. Thank you, guys.